Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Purdue starts its second week of training camp. We'll take a look at the headlines through the first three practices and look ahead as well on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Tom Dienhard. Tom, let's get right to it this morning on the podcast. Purdue with practice number four. What are you looking for this week?
Yeah, out here right now, Kyle. Specialists are out there warming up. I guess all eyes are still going to have to be on the offensive line. We all know that may be, at least in my mind, priority number one from a development standpoint. Practice two, practice three, we saw the same offensive line configuration on the first team. So maybe that's a sign that they got a group of five guys they like. Again, Victor Beach at center, Alex Criddle, DJ Washington at guard, Grant Hermans, Matt McKinn at tackle. So going to keep watching that O-line, see if the personnel continues to shuffle. One, also, Kyle, keep watching those young wide receivers. A couple of them have been nicked up here. David Bell hasn't practiced yet. And Mershon Rice missed yesterday's, or I should say Saturday's practice. So we all know about the hype around those guys. We want to keep watching them develop. And thirdly, Kyle, that the pass rush up front has to be better. And looks like they've got some promise, led, of course, by the true freshman, George Karloftis.
All right, you mentioned offensive line off the top, so let's stick there for a second. Are you more or less encouraged by the offensive line after the first three practices?
You know, it's hard to say after such a short number of practices, just one being full pads. But, you know, the fact that they had the same five guys at the same positions for two practices in a row on the number one line, maybe gives you an indication, a slight indication that, hey, these are five guys they like. So, again, still awfully early. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe there's still some movement. We know the staff likes redshirt freshman Will Brammel. He's a guy. And Jimmy McKenna, another redshirt freshman, who actually, Kyle, finished spring ball as one of the starting guards. So, again, still some moving parts, still a to-be-continued story.
From what I saw on Saturday, I wouldn't be shocked if here, practice number four, there's some changes again on that offensive line. The group struggled just a bit, in my opinion, to say the least. All right, so what's your big takeaway from the first three? I feel like, you know, maybe it's along the defensive line a little bit. I mean, I think that group had a pretty good first three practices, although, as you mentioned, just one of them out there in shoulder pads. So you don't get a real feel, I think, for things that happen along the offensive line until the guys start to get some pads on. But there does seem to be some promise there along that defensive line, and we're saying that even without Lorenzo Neal out there on the field.
Yeah, and that's a big guy not to have out there, obviously. Hurt his knee against IU last year. Really thought he was going to be out there for the start of summer camp. Wasn't. Jeff Brom told us after the first practice he may not be out here, Kyle, till about halfway through fall camp. Probably doesn't matter. You know, they want to be cautious and make sure that he's healthy and he's ready to go when they open the season at Nevada on November 30th. So he'll be a big factor when they get him back. And, yeah, you're right. Karloftis continues to impress. Branson Dean, a redshirt freshman from Indianapolis, defensive end, was a guy Nick Holt even mentioned by name after Saturday's practice. That's a guy people should watch as well. Has a little bit of explosion off the edge. More depth there, too. Kai Higgins was a starter last year. Now he's on the second team. He's still pretty quick off that edge. And Derek Barnes, boy, he looks the part, and he could be primed for a big junior year. And inside, Lawrence Johnson, another big redshirt freshman to watch, and Giovanni Revere, Jeff Marks. They've got some bodies to rotate in there, too. So there's some depth in town for Reggie Johnson and D-line coach to work with.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Branson Dean's name was sort of brought up by Holt unprompted, right? I mean, not a guy maybe that was at the top of my mind, but one who, at least in the opinion of the co-defensive coordinator, has had a pretty good first 3 days.
You're exactly right. That sort of caught me, too, so that tells you something. And then, that the entire front seven has to work together. the linebacking core, I know that they had their foibles last year, but I think there's a lot to work with there. That's Nick Holt's unit. You know, Marcus Bailey, we know his resume. He's the bellwether. He's a captain. You know, Jalen Alexander, Cornell Jones, a talented guy who has to continue to mature, but he makes plays, right? And Elijah Ball is a redshirt freshman, I think, who people should watch. A little undersized, but he can play in space and move. And, of course, how about number 44, Kyle? I know you talked to him. Ben Holt, the son of Nick Holt, of course, graduate transfer linebacker from Western Kentucky. He's a dervish out there. He can cover a lot of ground. And bottom line is he's just a football player, period.
You guys have similar tattoos too, right?
Yeah, me, Ben Holt, and Spencer Evans. Yeah, I asked him that. I was kind of get a kick out of some of the more offbeat stuff. And, you know, maybe you pointed out that the tattoo to me under his jersey during the practices. So I asked him after practice. We were talking to him. I had him lift his jersey up. Had him show me the artwork, and explain to me what he has there. And, yeah, boy, quite a big, grandiose tattoo. It's an image of St. Michael. Another image is of a, quote, wise old man, and he has two family crests. So, as you can imagine, it takes up quite a bit of space on his abdomen.
There you go. I thought it was similar to yours.
Yeah, so now you got something chance to put next to that cobra on your thigh.
Yeah, there you go. You had a chance last week to talk to Elijah Sindelar, the quarterback. It seems to me, and we talked about this a lot last year, really the last couple of years, Tom, that when him and David Blau were competing, that it felt like neither one of them played very well. It was when the other one was injured and the guy was the clear starter that they seemed to perform a little bit better. I mean, you can make that illustration with Sindelar during his injury a couple of years ago when David Blau was out, and then when Sindelar was a little bit nicked up last year and David Blau was the clear number one. Do you get the impression from talking to Sindelar that he feels a little bit more comfortable now knowing that, you know, for the most part, he's clearly the number one starter?
Without a doubt. I asked him that directly, point blank. You know, what's it going to be like not having to look over your shoulder and know David Blau is there, more than able, more than capable of coming in and running this offense? And he did say, you know, he at times was a little hesitant. Maybe a little bit gun shy, you know, knowing that, hey, if I make a mistake, I may get pulled here. But then, like you said, Brian Brown pointed that out, Kyle, that, you know, both those quarterbacks, as you said, played better when the backup wasn't available, 2017, 2018. So that was sort of an interesting dynamic. So again, Brian Brown said that, hey, yeah, Sindler's the guy, but there's still competition. And he also made sure to note that, hey, we still have a quick hook. If things aren't going well, we will not hesitate to insert redshirt freshman Jack Plummer. And, you know, not to get off on a big tangent, but then I talked to Brian afterwards later, Brian Brom, would you ever consider playing Jack Plummer every game just to get him some experience? And Brian Brom said, hey, everything's on the table. And at Western Kentucky in 2016, they did such a thing where they would give – the first series, the second quarter, to the second string quarterback just to get him some game reps. So, again, they always consider every option to try to get the best football team they can here with this coaching staff.
All right, let's talk some injuries because Purdue does have some minor ones, it seems. Rondell Moore missed Saturday's practice. Know that David Bell has been out. Been a couple other guys who've been a little bit nicked up early during training camp. Any of those concerning to you?
You know, really the biggest one continues to be Richie Worship, and we haven't seen him in pads since, what, November of 2017, when you were still covering the team, buddy. You know, has that knee issue. They're being very cautious with him. You know, who knows if he'll ever get back on the field, and if he does, how effective he'll be. But that'd be the guy I think you'd be most worried about. And Lorenzo Neal, to me, you know, the fact that he wasn't out here at all was a bit of a surprise. But again, nothing I think to be alarmed about. But we all know how key he is to this defense's production. Other than that, like you said, most of these things are sort of ticky-tacky hamstrings. And maybe bump some bruises. Again, you want to be prudent with your roster. Don't want to force anything. The biggest one, I think, aside from the two I mentioned earlier, Neil and Worship, was a sophomore offensive lineman Mark Stickford was in a booth the other day, told he has a stress fracture. So he probably wasn't going to start, but again, anytime you see a guy in a boot, you know there's a little bit cause for alarm.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break here on the podcast. When we come back, we'll talk some standouts from the first 3 days of training camp. We'll do that here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
The Chargers team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
All right, Tom, let's talk some standouts from the first week of practice. Three of them in the books. Purdue will get back out on the field again this morning for the first of several that we will be able to watch before it closes up on Friday. All right, I'll give you one, and really this is from one play I saw on Saturday. Tario Fuller, I think, has looked good through the first three practices. He made, I don't know if you saw this play, it was in the 11-on-11 on Saturday, made sort of a jump cut in the backfield, then just burst down the sideline. Thought it looked like a guy that had some fresh legs, which we did not see a year ago. Tario didn't play much last year, but when he did, I thought he looked at least a half step slow, if not more than that. He's had so many injuries in the last couple of seasons. But, man, on that play alone, he looked to have that explosiveness that we saw at times a couple of years ago, especially in that game at Missouri. And if he comes back and plays, you know, at full strength, it really answers a lot of questions for Purdue in its backfield.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head there. Running back, big worry, you know, with the attrition of DJ Knox gone, Markell Jones gone. Those are really the bellwethers. Like you talked about, though, early in 2017, Fuller looked very impressive until he succumbed to injury. And like you said, too, Kyle, so far, training camp 2019, he's looked good. And physically, my God, there's not a more impressive body on this Purdue football team. Great, great personality as well. Purdue needs a number one running back. And Fuller, I think, physically can do it, but can he stay healthy? That's the $64,000 question here. The veteran depth behind him, sort of blue collar, led by Xander Horvath, maybe a true freshman will help too. You know, King Daru has played the most of the true freshmen so far. The Hewitt kid has been out a little bit here, Kyle. So again, keep your eye on those that running back position overall, especially the freshmen.
Corey Taylor had a big day. I wasn't out there on Friday, but you saw him have a big day on Friday, right?
Yeah, Corey Taylor, those safeties overall, you know, Jalen Graham, Brennan Thieneman, Navon Mosley, you know, Nick Holt talked about the safeties a little bit too. They got some good potential there. Marvin Grant, one of those freshmen that they all are excited about, though he had a hamstring injury and wasn't out here on Saturday. But again, just a lot of potential, a lot of big bodies at the safety spots. And I'll tell you what, you know, going back to the offense real quick, impressive people, impressive position, tight end. I think too often the tight ends don't get talked enough about for this 2019 team led by Bryce Hopkins. But the freshman too, buddy, Garrett Miller, the long hair tight end from Austin, Texas, Round Rock, Texas, been very good. Kyle Bilodeau from Virginia. No, don't forget about Payne Durham, the redshirt freshman. A lot of options. I think these tight ends could have a big year.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those freshmen look pretty impressive. But Bryson Hopkins is a guy who can go down the field and go up and get the ball too. Let's talk a little bit about the linebackers because we talked to those guys on Saturday after practice. It's my feeling that Purdue feels pretty good about Ben Holt and Marcus Bailey. But then after that, there's some pretty good question, maybe even to the point where Purdue's depth in the secondary might push Nick Holt toward the idea of playing a little bit more nickel. What's your feeling on sort of where Purdue is with its linebacking core? Does it feel good about a third guy? What does Cornell Jones need to do both on and off the field maybe to claim a spot out there? And do you feel like maybe the Boilermakers just feel more comfortable right now playing a little bit more of that nickel defense?
Yeah, they may feel more comfortable with that secondary personnel like you alluded to, Kyle, than the linebacking personnel right now. We talked a little bit about Bailey earlier. We know he checks all the boxes, could be one of the Big Ten's best linebackers this year coming off hip surgery. And then, of course, Ben Holt, a veteran, had over 100 tackles last year. Western Kentucky was fourth in Conference USA. Cornell Jones, I think, has got to be a guy for this linebacking core that wants to excel. He just makes plays. And Nick Holt said after practice, hey, he's in a position where they're supposed to make plays. And he did that. So give him credit. But also, we all know some of the immaturity he showed on the field, some of the poor decisions he made on the field last year proved to be costly at times. He's a junior now. He needs to grow up and mature. And, Jalen Alexander played as a true freshman last year. He's a guy I think that can maybe start. And I talked about Elijah Ball a little bit earlier, about a 5'11", 230-pound linebacker from Indianapolis area. Actually came here as a safety. He's a guy I think that would be, really operative and good against teams that like to spread you out because he can really play in space. So I think there's some potential there, but like you said, if they should struggle a linebacker, maybe Holt would want to just go with two linebackers and go with more of a nickel, package in the back end to get that extra D-back on the field.
Even Saturday, Tom, during the Gassers, Cornell Jones misses the line. Got to touch the line.
That kind of stuff.
Everybody had to go again, and it's just that kind of little stuff that you're looking for him to take another step forward. All right, the one question I'll leave you with here, the veterans step up a little bit this week. I'm looking at Jared Sparks. He's got to step up a little bit this week. I think he's dropped a couple of passes through the first three practices. If he's going to hang on to a spot there, maybe a starter spot, maybe even just a spot in the rotation, he and others like him have to step up this week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They all know the pressure's on them. Camp continues to move forward. These freshmen came here with a lot of stars behind their name. They didn't come here to sit, especially the receivers you talked about, Jared Sparks. Could be a make-or-break year for his career, honestly. We don't want to overstate it too much, but, if he could really get passed up on the depth chart, if he doesn't make a move in camp and then early in 2019. Ahmad Anderson Jr., just a redshirt freshman, looked really good this spring, maybe the best receiver all spring. He's got some pressure on him as well. So, pressure's a good thing. I think we'll see how people respond to it, and it makes everybody better, I think. And can these freshmen steal a role, too, we've all talked about for so long, too? David Bell, Mershon Rice, T.J. Sheffield, Milton Wright. That receiver position just drips with intrigue.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Tom, I'll let you get out to practice. Thank you.
Take care, Kyle.
All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahm Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters.
And a big week it is, with Purdue starting its second week of spring, of training camp practices. We're much farther along than the spring. We'll have reports at goldenblack.com. Also, look for Tom's Golden Black Radio Express as he breaks down the daily news from the practice that day. All right, much more on the site at goldenblack.com. That'll do it for our show for this week. Thanks, as always, to our sponsors, including East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. We'll be back again at our normal time, we presume next week, 10 o'clock on Monday. For Tom Dienhardt, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.